Hi, welcome to AI Unscripted, and introduce yourself. Who are you and what do you do?
Hi, my name is Abel. I'm in build space right now in San Francisco. I'm working on an AI study app.
Great, great. So first, what is that AI called Study Sets AI, and who is it for?
So Study Sets AI is an app, a website where you can upload your course materials or just random stuff you want to learn, and it will create an AI study set for it. So an AI study set is like a group of resources with which you can practice. For example, we have flashcards, we have test quizzes, we have summaries, reading comprehension exercises, all that type of stuff.
Oh, that's great. And why did you decide to build Study Sets AI? Or it was like Study Buddy before, I remember.
Yeah. We used to be called Study Buddy. And because I had a sick domain name, buddy.study. And I was like, hell yeah, let's take this this name. But then I quickly realized that it was actually not the best name, because there's this thing called SEO. Where you're trying to get up into the Google rankings, and Study Buddy is such a super popular term, it was soon clear to me, like, oh yeah, it's gonna take a really long time to get up there. So then I changed. I found Study Sets AI to be really easy to market, and it was like, yeah. After I think I bought it, and then a week or two later, I was like, immediately appeared at the top for this specific name. So way better in that sense.
And did you come with that idea to build space, or was it something different before that?
So a little backstory maybe. I graduated last summer, and then I wanted to do some stuff. I had a few ideas, and this was actually one that I'd been talking with a friend who came up with it. And I was like, okay, I wanna do something. Let me create this AI tutor. And so that's why it was called Study Buddy, because in the beginning it was just an AI chatbot that was like good at helping me with math. Then I started working on that during the summer. I couldn't do any web development. I'd done some mobile development in my during my like university courses. Just for myself. No actual experience developing any website. And then I started learning it. I did Nights and Weekends, which is like a build space program. And then over the coming months, I just got into the building routine where I started building out the project. And then when I finally got into SF2, build space program also, I thought for a while, like, okay, what do I want to do here? And I decided, okay, let's just double down, because I quickly discovered that there was still a whole world to learn of, like, okay, how do you build something and actually distribute it, actually scale it, actually manage to sell it and make money off it? And so I thought, like, oh, this is perfect. Let me just try with this thing that I already have made.
Wow. So this is like your first website that you built?
Yeah,
from scratch.
Yeah, like actually deployed website. Actually, yeah, website that works. Yeah.
Wow. And before that, you said that you were building only like apps for smartphones, like Swift apps, or like.
Yeah, I used to be when I was in my undergrad, I had an idea that I did with a friend, where I wanted to build an app for waiting lines. It was called Queue. And the idea was like, hey, we don't have to queue anymore. We're just going to scan QR codes, and then it's going to put you in a virtual queue, and then you can do whatever you want. You can go to your festival, don't have to wait in line for a drink, all that type of stuff. And that's when I learned mobile development. Then I also became a mobile developer for a year at some startup in the city of my university. And I never really dabbled into web development until then. Last summer, and it was super clear to me, like, oh yeah, everything in AI is being developed for web right now. And yeah, it took me also a while to go from Firebase, which is more mobile friendly, to now like Superbase, for example, which is more web friendly. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot actually in the past 6 months.
Wow. I mean, that's quite impressive. It's like in less than a year, you learn how to build a web application, deployed it. And actually right now, I believe you're already like making money off of it, right?
Yeah, yeah. I did study computer science though. So I feel like it's not as impressive as some people that actually, you know, have never coded in their life and then make a website. I had coded before in like Python, some Java. But yeah, I never made any successful or mediocre web app. Yeah.
I mean, don't sell yourself short. It's still pretty impressive. It's like to be able to like build the whole website. It's pretty cool. So, I'm curious about the study set. If you can share it, like what tech stack do you have? What apps do you use and tools?
Yeah,
if you can share.
So we use Next.js for style to deploy, Superbase as a backend. As I said before, like I was first using Firebase. But Firebase is super client first, so client-side rendering first, which for mobile makes a lot of sense because you have an app. But now the whole paradigm of web is shifting to more server-side rendering, especially Vercel is trying to push it. So I realized like, okay, fuck. I'm struggling here with like super basic stuff, implementing super basic stuff. Because I wanted to be server-side rendered as well. I didn't want to have my like client-side app. So then I switched, I think, in October. So after like a month or two, to Superbase. Superbase is amazing. I recommend everyone who wants to build on the web to use it. It's really good. So yeah, I use that for a backend. And then I use Tailwind CSS for styling, ShedCN. Also took me a while to use ShedCN, actually. First, I was just building my own components, but ShedCN is amazing. Recommend everyone to use it. And then backend wise, so first I was doing everything with the Next.js API. Now I also have a separate API, which is a Python API deployed on Railway for more complicated stuff. There is some stuff that Next.js API is really bad for, or at least to me, it was like way overcomplicated. It broke all the time. So then I just decided, okay, let's just have two APIs. Main one is Next.js, second one is Python, where you cannot do all the more complex stuff. So for example, when a user uploads a document, a website or a YouTube video, then it gets scraped using the Python API instead of the Next.js API. For this scraping stuff, I use LangChain. LangChain is, in my opinion, I'm not too big of a fan of LangChain. I think it's quite like they're trying to abstract everything. I really like to be like work more with the basic building blocks because you have more control over it. They try to like put like silly prompts and like a pre-made agents, and I'm like, no, thank you. But their document loaders are really good. So that's what I use them for. And then I use OpenAI. Vercel AI SDK is really good. Right now, my OpenAI credits have expired, so I'm trying to, which is super sad. Suddenly, you
well, maybe
profitability and stuff.
Yeah, maybe they will hear this and give you some more.
Oh, please, that would be amazing. I have some Azure credits. So Azure has an OpenAI service, but I still need to make time to port that over. The Vercel AI SDK makes it a little easier to change providers. And I also kind of want to like check out Claude, because Claude is also like, I hear so many good things about it. So I might also try that. But for now, it's just OpenAI.
Yeah, I've seen Claude applied a little bit with it. They have this like the small model that like super, super fast. And I've seen some people were talking about using that for creating agents that can talk to each other, so they can do like iterative thinking, and then, you know, go to the slower model, like to give you like a final model. So so I'm curious, because I've seen so many different similar apps with like different spin-ups. I remember like the very old school is like the Anki, but obviously it doesn't have the AI, but it's like the most super, old school.
Super popular, yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
So what differentiates StudySize from other educational tools?
Yes, so yeah, it's really good points because when I started with this idea, I didn't even realize how many AI study tools there were. And obviously like last year, a shit ton of them like popped off. So like honestly, with any sort of product that I see, if I have an idea that I kind of want to make, if there's an existing competitor, that's actually a good thing because it validates like, okay, there's a market for it. But for me, there always needs to be a way where I'm like, oh, I want it differently. Like there are certain things that I don't like about like existing solutions. And then I always am like, okay, no, if I can make something that in my opinion would be better, or like different in a way that I just prefer myself, then I feel like it's worth making. And something that I learned really here, because here, during my time in SF2, past 10 weeks at BuildSpace, is that there is so much abundance. Like markets are huge. Most markets are huge. Mm-hmm. Especially the student market is huge. And you would also be surprised about the inertia that there is in markets. Like a lot of students don't know yet about like most of these tools.
If you build
a tool yourself, you're like, oh yeah, you know all the competition, you're like, hell, like how is this ever gonna work? There are so many alternatives. And I've been there myself where I'm like, I see, like I've now discovered actually solutions, like apps that I'm like, oh, this is actually how I envisioned it. Like this is actually something I would use myself. Like really like well done, well designed app, works smoothly. I'm like, oh, this is great. It can be demotivating, but like especially in the last week, I've really realized like just how big of a market, like how big of the market the world actually is, and that even if it's a competitive market, you can make something work. Whether it's gonna grow huge, yeah, that obviously depends on a lot of different factors, but you can always make it work in like a mediocre successful way.
I mean, it's a pretty cool start. I've seen a couple of days ago was a blew up, and you got like a lot of
It was nice.
a lot of page views, and I even seen your reference. Who this guy's name? Level CEO. I never know how to pronounce his name.
Level CEO. Yeah.
Level CEO. Yeah.
I was like, hell yeah! That was really cool.
Yeah, but it was like interesting. I was like, wow, you could just start converting by doing this. Simple fix, just not offering the free plan.
Yeah, that's for the viewers at home. You don't need a free plan. So quick story for the people that don't know is there was this video of BuildSpace that like Josh is the video editor here made of me. Like they make one of every person here at BuildSpace about what they're doing. And mine started getting a lot of traction. I think right now it's at 770,000 views, which is a shit ton. And
it's a lot of views.
It's a lot of views, yeah. So it blew up, and then a lot of people came to the site. A lot of people signed up. A lot of people started using the app. Super cool, like getting a lot of insight in it. But my pricing strategy, like, was set up as like free plan, then just basic plan, and then like unlimited plan. And I saw that like no one was paying. I was like, maybe they will pay in a few days. But I knew like, oh shit, this boom is not gonna last forever, obviously. So I thought like, let's not find out and just like gain no actual conversions. So I tried, okay, a lot of people, perfect for experimenting. So first thing I did was just drop the free plan. Mm-hmm. And that were great. Like suddenly people started converting. So just have the landing page, you explain the idea, you show the app. But then if they actually want to use the app, they have to pay. And people started converting. Amazing. Now, what I did before, I decided to drop the free plan because I was a little bit nervous. I was like, fuck, I'm going to just lose all my users here. No one's going to use it because if they can't try it, then like a lot of people are like, oh, no, I'm not going to pay for this. So I lowered my prices, like half them. And once I saw like people were paying, I was like, okay, maybe we can just get the prices back up to the original one. So I did that. People kept converting. Amazing. Then I was talking with Amit, principal here, amazing guy. He gave some feedback and we're like discussing, okay, different pricing strategies. There's a really successful student SaaS, Study Buddy also called. This was partly the reason that I changed from the name Study Buddy. They work with $1 trials. So you just get $1, you pay it, and then you have like a week access. Super interesting. I haven't tried it myself. But I thought like, okay, let's just first like try free trials. And that's now going on. A lot of people on it. But like now it's like a dead phase right now because suddenly there's no revenue for a few days until the free trials are over. So by tomorrow and this weekend, I'll know whether it's successful. So I'm praying. But it looks pretty good. Like yeah, the number of visitors to the site was actually already like decreasing again from the initial spike. The number of customers and like people signing up and like going for the free trial kept rising. So I think like ratio wise, it's definitely better to have a free trial right now. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Side note, when you slap on the bottom, I think the microphone picks up very loud. Yeah, so no problem. So we'll fix it in post-production if I can with AI. I'm curious, did you get any chance to speak with some of the customers to see like what was their main reason, like what was the main feature that they came for?
Yeah, the crazy thing to me is like the customers that I've like been interviewing and have like seen using the product are all using like the simplest features in my opinion. So one is like flashcards are really simple. It's just, okay, you have your source material. I'm going to generate a bunch of questions with answers for it. But that seems to be really popular. I was calling with a girl from Exeter, England yesterday, and she was super hyped about it, and all she did was use it for the flashcards, and also the summaries a little bit, she said, but mainly flashcards. I was like, okay, well, great, you love it, but yeah, because there are some cooler features in my opinion, but that's really an interesting insight. And then also the summaries, that was what most people, especially when it was still like a free plan, then most people were using summaries, which I don't know why, because it's like ChatGPT in my opinion, but yeah, seemed to be popular for them.
And for ChatGPT, do you use like 3.5 turbo or you use 4 version?
Depends on the task. So some tasks, like mathematical stuff, I have one type of practice material that is for mathematics. It just uses LaTeX and like mathematical equation stuff. And there I do use GPT 4 because it requires a bit more reasoning skills. And then for the other ones, I first also used GPT 4 because I had a lot of credits. But then since that ended, I'm back on 3.5 to make it like sustainable. Because right now, like the most, and that's the nice thing about all AI apps, honestly, and why I'm so bullish on just building a lot of AI products right now. Like all the prices are going to drop over the coming years. Like it's just going to go to virtually zero. And that's something you actually don't have to worry about that much right now. Just make sure you're like not losing money. But yeah, your profit margins are only going to rise.
Yeah. I've seen OpenAI, they switched from rolling to like you have to buy credits up front because of some people ran a lot of credits, had like huge bills, and they're like, oh my god. Well, I don't know if you can pay 100k, like, but yeah, there's this. I think I've seen one. I think like a ridiculous number. It's like, oh my god, like this is bad.
Damn.
So yeah, be careful. Yeah. So, I'm curious, where do you want to take study sets? Like, do you want to still working on? Do you said that you excited about like a bunch of other apps? Is there anything else you want to build maybe with AI?
Yeah, I'm super hyped on just building a lot of like AI products. Like what I did, for example, like now during the past 10 weeks, I got distracted about a few times, but two major times where I just built like another app. So first one was an AI lecture notes app where you just can record like your lecture. Like if you're listening to someone, this conversation, for example, you could press the record, it would record it and then take notes for you. And then you can always edit the notes in like a nice Notion style editor. So that was like one little small product that I made. And then I also made an AIfinanceprep.com, it's called. It's a website where like finance majors that are preparing for investment banking interviews, that type of stuff. Where they can practice and like you upload your resume and then it asks you questions about it, or like technical ones as well. And then you can answer and it reviews your answers, that kind of stuff. It was all like quite similar. So that's the nice thing. Mm-hmm. Like once you get your tech stack right and once you know how to use it, it's really, really easy to iterate and get new ideas and really push out something quickly. Because those two apps that I just talked about, it's maybe like one week each. So to come back to your question, study sets AI, I'm probably just going to try to automate as much as possible, keep it on the back burner. Still have like support and implement feature requests from actual customers. But then I also, like, I feel like I've gotten quite good over the past 6 months at building these things. So I just want to start building like new projects, like explore a little more, at least for the coming month. Then we'll see whether we can do something big again. Yeah.
You have some ideas that you want to work on? Something interesting?
I've been brainstorming with Mattia, another guy from SF2, amazing guy. And we want to work on some stuff, mainly like generative UI. Generative UI is like a pretty, pretty interesting topic. And see where
is
we
it
can...
Like we- Mm-hmm. Is it like V0 that Vercel has, like generating components type of thing?
It's more like where you have a chat, for example, like a chatbot, and instead of text, because now all responses are text, right? And at least for me, I always ask you to put it in bullet points because that's for me very easy to read. But even then, like a lot of information, like it's just not text native, or it takes a while, it's not easy to consume. So one thing you see right now is that Vercel at least also is pushing that to have more generative UI in your chat. So for example, the example that they gave is like, give me the stock price of Dogecoin, and then you get like a nice little graph. So you might do something with that. Personally, agents seem also super interesting to me. I've been wanting to make like an SEO agent or like a marketing agent where, you know, like I'm a coder. I don't like doing marketing, but it's a necessary evil. That's also what I learned here. Like it's all about distribution. Like it's all about, okay, how do you find like whatever product you're working on, even if you think like, oh, this is super shitty right now. This is like, because people, especially developers, often have like high standards. There's always people around in the world that would already want to use it. Often you just gotta find them. And I know I just don't really like marketing myself. I don't like making TikToks and making credit posts and and thinking about SEO, but it needs to happen. So I've been thinking about automating that. There's already a bunch of existing solutions though, so I'm gonna see whether I can like actually find something that I'm like, oh yeah, this is a missing part, or I could contribute.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Another question about the process of building study sets AI. Like, how do you go about? Do you have like a set 4-hour window, or do you just something come up and you start you know coding away?
Oh, you mean like routine wise?
Yeah. Do you like wait for a muse to come, or do you like you know like sit down and code something and wait for like inspiration to come? Like what is your process?
Yeah. So one thing that's really good and that I would like suggest everyone to do is just find a workspace that is not your home. That's not the place where you sleep or live. Mm-hmm. Just to come back to, that's like the basic, the most base, like the most fundamental part of the routine. Like just get to a place and you have to go there and then you do some work. I don't really have a very rigid routine. I've tried to, but I find it difficult to adhere to it. So yeah, mostly I come here in the morning, do some work, especially in the mornings. It's nicer because there's not a lot of people. Then around noon, it gets chaotic. Sometimes if I've been here for a long time, I notice that my focus tends to drop. Like my ability to focus in this environment is just not as good as it was in the beginning. And then I just need a change of environment. And so you've got this coffee chain here, Phil's Coffee, really good coffee place. I go to there then. And that helps, especially in the busy hours, to get some work done. But yeah, I tend to code every day. Try to code every day. I should do marketing every day, but I definitely don't do it.
Yeah, that was another question. Like, yeah. When do you do marketing? Do you like do afterwards or in between, or maybe like because that sounds like a chore for you?
Yeah. You really gotta be hard on yourself, where you're like, okay, today we're gonna do marketing, and the important thing is like nothing else. Because when I allow myself to do development, I'm like, oh yeah, today's marketing day. I just need to fix this bug first, or I just need like, I can start making videos, but I just need this one update, and then I can. What happens? Like I've done it like multiple times here, like almost probably more than like 10 days here, where I've been like, okay, yeah, today's marketing day, and then I start coding on something. And then just suddenly half the day is gone because you found like another issue and another rabbit hole, and so that's dangerous. So
yeah. So what type of marketing did you find working for your specific product?
So a big revelation for me here in SF2 is definitely TikTok.
Really?
Yeah, because before I didn't, like, I don't use TikTok myself. It's a waste of time. It's like this thing where it sucks your attention and you're just like, and they have good algorithms. There's definitely quality content on there. But for me, it's way too distractive. So I didn't really use it. And when I arrived here, there was this other team, in SF2, Declan and Derek, amazing guys as well. And they're also, they have a product called Jotbot, which is like an AI document editor. And they blew up before BuildSways already. And that was because of TikTok. It just made a lot of TikToks, some went super viral. And first like thing when I arrived here and I was chatting with them, like Declan was like, yo, like TikTok is where it's at. And that was a big revelation for me because I didn't know, like I realized like, oh yeah, I need to do some marketing. I probably should post on TikTok, but I hadn't done it before. And then you learn all those things about, okay, wow, like this actually works. Because I think TikTok is, the nice thing about it is every video gets given a chance. Instagram is way more follower based. Like it's, I think Instagram overall is like more quality views. I don't really believe the TikTok view counts. Like it's often like super high view counts, and I'm like, I'm very suspicious of it. Instagram, I tend to trust a little bit more, because I never see like, or you see those crazy view counts less. But Instagram takes a while, so you really need to be rigorous with that, which honestly I haven't done. But I think if you actually want to have like a success on Instagram, you definitely, it's a long game. Whilst TikTok is just make a video, it almost gets at least like 200, 300 views. They always give it to 200, 300 people just to check, like, yo, is this anything special? If it's actually good, serve it to more. If that is actually good, like, they show you the analytics, and there it's pretty clear, like, okay, if the watch time is longer, your video is going to get way more views. Because that's what they're optimizing for, I guess. So if you're starting out, I would advise, and you're building a consumer product, then yeah, TikTok is probably where it's at if you want to get some rapid success.
Did you try any other channels like Hacker News or Reddit, you know, like
I've tried Reddit more,
stuff? Yeah.
Oh yeah, also good. Yeah, because in the beginning I was super stupid. I was like, people told me like, yeah, like market on Reddit, market on Discord. But I was like honest about it. I was like, hey, I made this app, do you want to try it? And for people that don't know, what happens is like instant ban, because everyone, everyone knows it, so you immediately get banned out of all these groups. So the way to go at it is to not be as honest and just say like, find, like, this is what I found to work the best. Find people that ask questions where you're like, you can honestly like answer like, oh yeah, hey, check out this product, this really was useful for me, or this could really help you. And then people actually react like, oh my god, thank you, this is great, this is like, where has this been? And that's like really good reactions. I feel like that works really well with Discord. Obviously, you gotta watch out that you don't spam it to every comment, like, because then you're also gonna get banned. People see, but if you act like a normal person would, then it actually might get you some traffic, especially in the beginning. Are you gonna go viral from Discord things? Not really, but in the beginning, that's also something that I learned in the beginning, is just try to get those first users, like whatever it costs. And actually, something that I also like would use next time, if I'm launching a product, is sell in the beginning, maybe like a lifetime subscription for like really cheap. Because what's going to happen is people are going to be like, oh, this seems like a deal. They're going to buy it. And once people pay you money for it, they will care. At least a little bit, because they paid money for this, so they actually want it to be good. And if you gave them a lifetime subscription, people will be like, oh shit, if this becomes valuable, then it's like, I can use this for free, nice. And so yeah, in the beginning you're not optimizing for getting more money, you're just getting like optimizing for, okay, can I find people that actually care and they can actually give me feedback and not just say like, oh yeah, looks cool. That type of stuff.
Interesting. It's realizing, listening to you, it's like for Discord you need much more surgical approach, and you can't just like blast it, but it's more for like your first customer, right? So
yeah. If you have like a really niche product, then that's probably what you want to go for. And yeah, just don't be like, hey, can you buy my product?
Yeah, shameless self-promotion.
Yeah, shameless self-promotion, that doesn't work.
So This is like twofold question. So what are some other creative ideas that you have or considered for like one marketing? And second is like maybe for like some cool projects that you think AI, like the craziest that you have thought about. Like I wanna go like off the roof. You know?
Interesting. I don't know whether I have crazy ideas. For marketing or for
let's first do marketing while we're talking about it. But I'm curious, since like all the AI stuff, like I've seen Sora coming in, OpenAI had something about voice. So if you maybe looked into it, maybe you have something interesting to share.
So marketing is going to get crazy. There's one product that I've actually maybe wanted to make my own version of, which is like AI UGC. For the people that don't know at home, like I didn't know what UGC was. UGC stands for user generated content. That is where you pay people for making content for you. So it's sort of micro influencers, but it's not like an influencer is someone that has their own page, their own brand. Pay them or give them an affiliate link, and then they will promote your product for you. UGC is more like you find these actors almost, you pay them money and they will make content about your product, often on like new pages. So for example, TikTok, you get some UGC creators, you pay them per video, per view, whatever, and then they create these videos on their accounts. Really popular, like Dante is a guy here in SF2. He built this color theory app, pretty cool. Should check it out. And he like blew up like really significantly because of UGC. So he made this app and then he paid a bunch of UGC creators to just start making content. And then once the ball gets rolling, you have this amazing loop of, okay, some videos pop off, great, users come to your site, convert, you have money, I'd put it back into the machine. Yeah, the thing that you want is you like the only difficult thing is you need to make sure that there's enough value that you can capture so that it's profitable, that you don't lose money, because UGC is quite expensive. But to get to the crazy part, there is this thing called AI UGC, which is just you have actors. So let's say you get some creator, you make a bunch of clips of them and you train a lip sync model on them. And then you just choose a clip of this creator and you type out your script. I'm actually gonna do this and try to experiment whether it works. Or whether we can actually be successful, because I saw one clip on Twitter like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and it was the first time that I like, holy shit, I showed it to multiple people here at BuildSpace. Everyone is like, damn, I didn't realize this was AI. Like I showed it them, like let them watch like 10, 15 seconds of like a 60 second clip, and like they were like, what the fuck is up with this clip? And then you tell them, oh, it's AI. And then they're like, holy shit. The thing is, it's good because it's based on real video clips. And they let the actors be really expressive with their facial expressions. And then they just change the lips. And they let the voice in any language, by the way, which is amazing. So,
oh, yeah, it's pretty cool.
So you can have like one ad. I mean, you might probably do it with your podcast where you just change your voices into Spanish, whatever. And then you can suddenly reach a whole like new market that doesn't speak English, which is super powerful. And anyways, like AI UGC is going to become a thing. So that's one really big thing that's going to get really big in the coming year, probably, because lip syncing is getting so good. We're super fucked. Like, society is gonna go through a change where we're not gonna look at videos the same anymore. It's like, like now already, right? If you would see a picture of something crazy, you would know, like, okay, that's probably photoshopped. Video, we're getting there. We're like, after a while, you just have to assume like, oh yeah, it's a video. It's not necessarily real. It's probably not real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to get there. And I think like some people are like super afraid of that. I personally am like, I accept it. Like I'm quite accepting of all change. Like there's no other way to deal with it. And people are going to deal with it. But there's going to be this weird phase where people don't realize it yet what is possible. And we're entering that phase in the coming year, I think, where all these lip sync models, all these deep fakes are going to get super good.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that will be weird. But one thing you're going to see is, so you're going to see a lot of AI UGC. So people like promoting clips or promoting products or whatever, or talking about stuff. That never actually really said those things. They may be real people.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, after a while, it may also be just completely people that never existed before. But they will be talking in a really engaging way and be selling it in like a semi-authentic way. So that's going to become really big.
Yeah.
And then you have another type of AI-generated content, which... that's what I was gonna say before the camera dropped off. Arab, do you know Arab from Billspace?
No,
he did like MusicFi. He's now doing another company which is like called Creo, and that's more like those stupid clips with like a Subway Surfer and like Family Guy. You know, those really like, I honestly don't like these videos, but. They're really prevalent on the social media platforms where you have like different or like Minecraft plays with like a voiceover.
Like
that type of content, like really low quality content.
Mm-hmm.
That's also getting automated, so that means people will be able to push out like thousands of hours of mm-hmm. just content, push it to social media to get more traffic to their whatever they want to promote. I don't think that's a good thing. But honestly, my view of social media in general is that there are a lot of bad things about social media. So I wouldn't say TikTok is a net positive on society. Like, definitely not. But then again, there's good quality on there as well. Like, there's mm-hmm. good quality content creators. But yeah, the sad part is that it's not all good content. You're definitely 100% certain you're going to see a rise in that, in those types of content.
Yeah, I'm excited about like the type that you described where, you know, for example, like from Netflix, where you can watch a translated movie, but like the lip sync and, you know, everything looks and watches like smoothly. And I think one of the guys from Billspace, I don't know if the same that you mentioned, that has like showed Lex Friedman clips speaking like Farsi and Spanish.
That was
pretty impressive. I was like, oh my god, if you can have that and like translate any movie into any language, I'm like, how crazy it is. And you have proper, because sometimes I hear like when the, you know, American movies and they have like a foreign actor, American playing a foreign actor, but I know the language and I hear them talk and I'm like, oh my god, like he just said nonsense, that means nothing, like this is complete bullshit. But with this, at least like now they can actually make it like sound good. And I think I've seen, I don't know if it's OpenAI or some other company, they were doing specifically the voice and the translation, like you can take your voice speaking English and then make it speak other languages, and for some languages it was pretty good. Like I heard it was speaking Russian and it was actually like fairly good, and some other languages, German, I mean, I don't know German that much, but it was also like sounding, you know, very Germanic, etc. So yeah, another thing I just wanted to say, because you said it's like, or there's going to be like a lot of, you know, a lot of like low quality content. But what I'm excited is actually, it's probably create more demand for like authentic, you know, like having actual people talking. And people will be fatigued from those type of like, you know, just bunch of random stuff. Unless it's become really good that you cannot tell, then yeah, maybe.
I think also, like, even if it's really good, like a certain types of content where you know it's AI, like it will lose value quickly. Yeah, like the UGC, for example, once people realize like, oh yeah, this person is probably not real, yeah, the value immediately drops. So I wonder, yeah, what kind of content things are going to become more popular. Like one-on-one conversations could be cool. Like podcasts have been rising for the past 10 years, probably. So that's gone really popular. For short content, I have no idea. But yeah, like I really believe in like the thing, the force that AI is just going to enable everyone to become like a creative, as in everyone will become a musician, everyone can become a filmmaker. And the time and effort required to go from idea to like realization will become like really small. You'll really be able to say like, okay, change this shot in this way, or this shot doesn't feel like, even just your like expressing your feeling about something. Like I've noticed with ChatGPT, you can be really vague in your instructions, and it often gets it in like quite a good way, where it knows what you mean even when you're not really able to pronounce it yourself. So I guess that the next Steven Spielberg will be like just the kid with the biggest, like craziest imagination. And they'll be able to make it for, yeah, a few dollars maybe in costs, which will be crazy.
Yeah, be great. But
also super fun. I'm personally I'm most hyped about gaming.
Gaming, okay.
I think like just entertainment in general will be like series and stuff, like Siri quality type of storytelling and visuals. But mixed with the interactivity of like gaming, so they actually have like an effect on the world.
You said Siri, or what do you mean? Like,
oh, no, series. Sorry.
Oh, series. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. That'd be cool. I can't actually. I've seen some implementation. Like I mentioned that people were the characters you can interact with in the game. That was kind of a cool way to implement it. So, yeah. So, like right now, what is your favorite AI tool? Because there are like so many. I don't know. Do you use ChatGPT a lot? Like, do you use Voice maybe? Because they have also DALL-E inside. They have a bunch of like custom GPTs. And maybe even like for programming, like, do you use anything, or you just, you know, code yourself?
Yeah. Like my number one AI tool is like 100% Cursor. Like Cursor is like
Cursor.
It's amazing.
Is it the IDE?
Yeah, it's the IDE. It's really good. It's better than Copilot in my opinion. But honestly, since I've started using Cursor, I haven't given Copilot a fair try anymore. So maybe it's gotten better. But yeah, when I used it, like I discovered it back in August, I think. And I think like Cursor is probably like more than half of the reason that I could iterate so fast, or that I've been able to become like this good at web development in just 6 months.
Wow.
It's like you just have this chat and you just can say like, yo, how does this work? How does that work? Like AI is like making everyone a 10x developer in like a really short time, so that's really, really, really powerful. And Cursor is just, they do it really well. They have their custom models right now, which is like Cursor Fat, so you can choose like GPT-4, GPT-3.5, or Cursor Fast, they call it. And the nice thing about Cursor Fast, it's worse than GPT-4. So like when you ask it to generate code, it's often like, but for small changes, it's amazing. You just select something, say like, yo, make it like this. In a few seconds, it's done. And it, yeah, it's really my favorite tool by far.
So you don't use Visual Studio anymore?
It's a VS Code fork. So I technically I use VS Code, but I just use Cursor.
Yeah. And can you do like all the plugins from VS Code? Doesn't have all that stuff.
It does have all that stuff. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's really, it's super good. Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll give it a try because I've seen it and then I was like, another ID. I was like, God damn it.
I get it. Like, I have so many people here. Like, a lot of developers also are too proud for it. They're like, nah. I prefer, I need to understand what I'm doing, which I get that point. But, like, in my opinion, it's like, yo, this is only going to get better. This is not going away. This is the future of how coders are going to, like, work. So I would, like, definitely, like, advise to to download it. And it's going to make you... Yeah, you're going to fall in love with it. It's really good.
I'll give it a try. Do you use AI besides your work in like your daily life? Like, do you like talk to it maybe or like do something else with it or it just strictly work?
I had a time where I was like when GPT-4, like the voice interaction came out. You know, the app, when it got like the voice interview, I was like, hell yeah. I've waited. Like, you saw it coming and it was finally there. And I was like, oh, awesome. And I remember just walking through a city just with like AirPods in and just talking about random topics that I was learning about physics. I was like, yo, tell me about this topic, explain it to me. It's still not perfect. Like, the interruptions are horrible. Like, when you're explaining and then you take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but now, like, if I like pause for a few seconds, ChatGPT would immediately be like, no, let me answer this question. And I'm like, no, I'm not finished. But since then, I've actually haven't been using it that much. I don't really use it that much more in my daily life. Sometimes I'm like, I ChatGPT random things if I want to learn about things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm not really like just for fun. Are there things that you use for fun?
I do use voice a lot. To go around that part, I just, there's like, if you press the button and hold it, it will not interrupt until you like let go. So they added that part. And sometimes I try to learn some Spanish. So it's pretty cool because it can understand me in any language. Like in my, it even speaks Ukrainian, which is fun. I was like, wow, I cannot believe that you can actually talk. I was super excited. I even showed my parents. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is magic. And it's very fluent. It can like jump around, so it's pretty cool. And I did use it a lot to like fix stuff around the house. I would like take picture, and it was like, okay, well, how do I fix this like fire extinguisher thing? You know, like or whatever, like that type of thing. So but mostly it's like the same. You know, like asking it to Google stuff, asking it to explain things, talking to it, and,
Yeah, Perplexity is really good as well. I just popped into my mind. For search, yeah.
Yeah, Perplexity, they have, I like their, like, summarization or whatever. And they probably a good example of, you mentioned early the UI, like
generative UI,
yeah, because they kind of create for different, like they add your videos or like articles and place it around whatever you need, depends on the content. So another question, so getting closer to the end, like, and you already mentioned some lessons from Buildspace, but what do you learn from like the biggest lesson that you're implementing from Build Space? Like, what was like the aha moment, and then you implement it was like mind changing. It's like give you great result.
That's a good question. Yeah, I've been thinking about it today as well. Because tomorrow is like demo day.
Oh, and, congrats!
that's one of the is one of the questions they also ask. Like, what's your biggest learning? Like the thing that I'm surprised over, like except for all the like the basics of like, you know, distribution analytics, all the kind of stuff. Because I learned a lot of like fundamental basics that are like obvious, but I just never done before. Like my biggest learning or discovery, I would say, is that how big markets are. So how like if you have a product, even if there's already existing solutions for it, you'd be surprised of like the amount of people that still can be helped by you. But I need to iterate on that learning. I'm still meditating on it.
Okay, yeah. Well, you still have we can add it later. Maybe next episode with your next product, you know.
Yeah. I'm excited for that, man. I'm really excited to just start building random stuff for like a week straight. It's gonna be fun.
So closing everything, where people can find you, and if you want to, you know, plug in your study sets and anything else you want to plug in, because you mentioned so many other interesting projects. If they are alive and deployed, you can plug it in here.
Yeah, so studysets.ai, that's the main project I've worked on for the past months. Check that out if you're a student, really nice. And then, you can follow me on Twitter. My handle is like Avan Steenwegen. It's really long. I should change it.
We'll drop it here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's my last name, which is Dutch, so it's it's not really easily spellable. You can follow me there on Twitter. My website is able.so. That's shorter. Right now, it just says like, "Yo, I'm working on study sets AI." But for the next projects, they will all come on there as well. So there you can follow a little.
Okay. Yeah. Again, thank you for joining me for my second in-person episode person episode. Yes. Yeah. I really appreciate you. Yeah. So yeah, everyone subscribe, like, and check out studysets.ai. Bye.
Awesome. See ya.